Hi, I'm Maddie Hockaday, also known as the Anne of this relationship.
And I'm Holly Constant, the Leslie.
We love Parks and Rec. We love behind the scenes.
And we love each other. This is literally the best Parks and Recreation rewatch show.
We're your park pals.
There's a park and some pals, and there's also therapy too.
Welcome to Park Pals, everyone.
Hello.
Oh my gosh. Maddie has a new mic and it's very exciting and I can't wait to edit it and to hear it. So I just want to share that with everyone because you can't see our faces.
Yes. We are hyped up about more technology.
Yes, I know. Doesn't always get along with us, but that's okay.
This is true.
So we have got Greg Pakaitis. I feel like it's been a while since we've done like a straight up review show, which doesn't seem like it probably to the listener because of the way that we've released it. But, you know, we've been doing interviews lately.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. I was going to say that at the beginning and I was like, but wait, like just a week ago we released Kaboom. But I think we recorded it maybe 3 weeks ago, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so. 2 or so weeks maybe. Yeah. Either way, it's been more than a week.
Yeah, and we've done several interviews in the meantime. You've heard some of them and then some of them we're still working on getting out to you guys. So It'll be good.
Yes. You just heard Purd. If you're listening to this now, you just heard Purd. So, holy shit.
And if you didn't, you should go back and heard from Purd.
You're right. Exactly. Yes. Go back and listen to that if you haven't already. Holy nuts. Wild. Okay.
Yes.
Well, so we're on Greg Pakaitis. Should we get started? Oh, my God.
There are a lot of firsts in this episode, I feel like.
Yes. So many firsts. This was... I feel I need to say this. I don't have a recap from Kaboom. So I feel like that might be a first in and of itself, too.
Well, we were pretty thorough. And I think having Brooklyn with us was helpful. And hopefully you guys thought that was helpful, like having somebody with a like an actual government background and understanding of how the government works. I think that was awesome. So I'm hoping she comes back for more.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Me too. Me too. I had a great time with her and you like guys, you know, being together.
Yeah.
All right. So Greg Pakaitis, this was written by Mike Schur and directed by Dean Holland. Cannot handle this team. You guys, These two dudes are the epitome, all caps, epitome of what I am manifesting. I need to talk to both of them. Purd talked a lot about Dean Holland as well, which was really enlightening to hear that a lot of the Purd like background came from him. But Dean Holland, if you haven't been listening already, which like go back and listen if you haven't, but friendly reminder, he's the editor, director, producer on the show. He is the one that's so brilliant with his editing where he does all the jump cuts and cuts at the exact right time to make you laugh. He also did a lot of The Office as well, so friendly reminder for him. And then I'm not going to even worry about explaining who Mike Schur is, because if you don't know that by now, I just don't know what you're doing here.
Yeah.
But I did want to mention really fast that I did watch the first episode of the Rutherford Falls show that Ed Helms is in.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really good. I liked it a lot. It's very, very, very reminiscent of Parks and Rec because it's a small town. It's another small town. But it's like more politically charged, I feel. It was a great pilot. And I love that lady on there, the lead lady. So definitely recommend watching it. I haven't had time to finish it, but it was really good.
Nice.
And then Harris Whittles was the story editor, by the way, of Greg Pakaitis. So
nice.
I'll mention his name anytime that he's involved. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to do that for him today.
Yeah. Do you know who edited the episode, Holly? Was it Dean?
I don't know who edited it. No. I don't know that that's on IMDb.
I feel like it's not as much of a claimed position.
Right. Where, like, there's an editing department and a sound department and stuff like that, but it doesn't really sit because there's a bunch of people editing. But yeah, I don't know who might have took the helm on this episode in particular. But
right.
Dean, since he has so much experience with editing and he also directed it or wrote it rather. He did direct it. Then he probably helped guide the editing more.
Right. Well, and I was going to say, because there are a couple things like that are done with the camera work and like the editing that I really liked. So I'll have to mention those. I did see when I was watching it that Amy Poehler produced it.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, I have written in my notes summary. I'm ready.
Summary. Let's do it. Leslie and Dave spend their Halloween trying to stop an annual prank committed by one specific high schooler, Greg Pakaitis. We learn there's a long history between Leslie and Pakaitis and watch as she takes their rivalry a little too seriously. Meanwhile, Tom and Wendy save Anne's lame Halloween party that's filled with doctors and nurses dressed up as doctors and nurses.
I know. Oh my God. They all
I can't with that.
dressed what they're actually doing. I don't think they got the point of Halloween.
No, they really didn't. I want to put a disclaimer out there before we get started that I did my due diligence with the guest stars for this week, but there are a couple that were not noted on IMDb or Wikipedia, and I couldn't find them. So I'll let you know who those people are, but there's a couple that didn't get even get credited on IMDb. So
weird. That's weird. I know. And you know what? A lot of times the actors have to be on top of that stuff. If they like don't, you know, keep track of it, then it might not even be listed, which sucks.
Yeah.
My first thing is that I tried reaching out to Greg Pakaitis. His name, I'm sure you got, what's his name? Cody Klopp.
Cody Klopp.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I tried reaching out to him via Instagram, but he didn't get back to me. So that's okay. Maybe one day he'll see it, but, or he'll change his mind, but he's great. I mean, I love this character. If he wants to reach out or tell us or send us anything, I would love to know more information. And this was a cool cold open because this one actually goes with the episode of having a scene that doesn't really relate to the story. It just like starts right at the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like that too. He also comes back. Pakaitis makes a reappearance, so it wouldn't be weird to bring him in as a guest at a different time too.
Yeah.
But that's also one of the things that I like because I think he only comes back once and it's in like season six.
Yeah.
It's five or six, right? And so it's pretty late on in the series. So the only people that are going to really catch that are like the true fans that have watched from beginning to end. So I think it's a nice little nugget for those of us that are like real fans. You see, oh, Pakaitis is here again.
Right. You know? Yeah. And so he still does the prank. I don't know. I know. I'd be interested to see how that happened or if he reached out and was like, if you ever need another guest star moment of Pakaitis, I'm here. But yeah, friendly reminder. He was at the prom with, I think her name is Allison, that Leslie's trying to mentor or whatever. And it turns out that she is dating Pakaitis. And then Leslie's like, nope, never mind. I don't want to mentor her anymore. She has terrible judgment.
Very bad judgment of character.
Right.
So Cody Klopp, for those of you, I he's not in a ton of stuff, but I will say he's 27 years old, which is kind of puts life into perspective for me because that's how old I am. And so I look back and I'm like, holy crap, I was the same age as him when I was like watching it. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool, which I looked back and I was like, is that accurate? And I was in high school when this episode came out. So that's accurate. He was in high school at the time. He had a part in Star Trek, which I've seen, but I didn't really recognize this character's name called the Vulcan Bully.
Yeah,
I don't know. Familiar. The Vulcan.
I'm so sorry.
Oh gosh, yeah. I'm not a. I watched the newer ones, but not the Patrick Stewart ones. As much as I love Patrick Stewart, yeah. So I'm not really a Trekkie. So if anybody wants to call me out on this, I will humbly take it.
Right. There's so much to there. Star Trek has so many fucking generations, though. It's nuts. So this is where we would need to get what's her name? Office chair model lady who was the beauty pageant gal because she's a Trekkie. And so, hello, we still need you, please.
Yes. You can answer all our questions.
Exactly.
He did play really quick, like one episode parts on Ugly Betty, Criminal Minds and Gilmore Girls.
Oh, cool. I watched all of Gilmore Girls, but I don't remember like a lot of
it. I've watched it a couple times, but I couldn't remember exactly who he would be either.
Yeah.
So, because I keep picturing him as a high schooler in Gilmore Girls, but Gilmore Girls came out quite a couple years before Parks and Rec. So he was probably a younger kid.
Maybe.
In that show.
Okay.
Anyway, I loved this. It's kind of this juxtaposition where you can kind of see Leslie's nerd come in, right? That she wasn't necessarily popular in school. And he's like the popular kid, like, oh, that's so cute that you're like, you're coming up to me and talking to me right now, right?
Yeah.
Which I just thought was funny because now she's an adult, but she's still playing that kind of that role.
Right. Yeah, I totally got that too. But more so for me, I took it as like he's playing the, you know, the kid who's always in detention and he's not even like he's only popular with his little group that's always getting in trouble. Right.
Yeah, that's fair.
But totally. And this is the first episode, side note, that isn't based on something super real. Like in the past, when I've looked things up, I've had clips to show you of like what this might have been based on in real life. Right. But really the closest thing that a lot of people said and critics said that this was related to was the, or not related to, but inspired by the show 24, which I don't really watch too much, but they said like when he comes skip, like when they show at the tag, when we get there, we'll talk more about it. But like when at the tag, when he, like you can kind of sort of see him, like that was very 24 reminiscent apparently.
Mm, okay. So I have not seen that. I know it's a Kiefer Sutherland. That's about it.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's very FBI type scene. She had that cork board with his picture and yarn leading to each picture and evidence.
Are people's like school pictures public domain? Because that's creepy if not.
Right. Like,
how did she get that picture?
I know. And maybe it was on like the website or something, or she stole the yearbooks. Mm. Like this is showing how much she went into it, I feel.
Oh, my gosh, there are so many moments in this show where I sit down and I'm like, how much time does she have?
I know.
Like, she must literally not sleep.
Yeah, literally. This like, was one of the projects ridiculous. Where she's just like stayed up all night trying to figure it out.
Exactly. Oh. I also love she has this moment at her desk where she's like, or maybe somebody else is doing it. But I'm pretty sure it's him. But she's so adamant throughout the entire episode that it's him. But there's this little nugget in her brain that's still like, but it could not be him. But I'm still going to hound him for it.
Right. Because she doesn't really have any evidence. But that's what that was kind of my next note, too. I wrote that, like, what does she have? Like, why does she think it's him? Like, I wonder if she caught him at some other point, because it doesn't really say that she saw him or caught him or something, but I'm sure obviously context clues shows that something must have happened in the past where now she's just suspicious.
Well, and I wrote a note that I want a backstory episode. Mm-hmm. I want a Pachytis versus Nope. How did this start episode? Absolutely. I think everybody would appreciate that.
I agree. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm about it. I also love this cockiness that he has, that he's like, thanks for stopping by, Leslie. You look great.
Oh, thank you. Oh my God, I know. So I don't know how Amy Poehler and him like didn't laugh. I'm sure they did, or they're both professionals, whatever. But I feel like I would have been laughing when she tries to block him from walking away. Mm-hmm. I also couldn't figure out where this school was. I tried. I Googled really hard, but I could not figure out where they filmed this, if this was a real school or a soundstage. It might have been the same middle school that they used for the episode one pilot. But I don't know. Also, like, he's eating a random peach, which is really funny to me. And, like, I don't remember eating anything in the hallways of school. Ever.
I did, but it's because I skipped lunch to practice violin. So I would walk around eating my banana or whatever else I thought, like from class to class. Yeah, but I thought that was weird too. Could you tell if it was a peach or a plum? Because later he says it's a plum.
I think it was a peach. And I think he's just saying plum as like crap. Pulling a fast one. I thought it was a peach.
Yeah.
Because it's orange.
That's what I thought when I first saw it. But I didn't look close enough this time. Yeah, and plums are much closer to like a purple. Yeah,
they're dark purple. That was not a plum. He's lying.
Okay. He's lying. Yeah, he's straight up lying. Yeah, I think for the setting, just my opinion, and you can correct me if I'm wrong because you've done much more with like acting and like sets and stuff. I would figure that building a hallway on a soundstage would be much easier than building like an auditorium. So I'm wondering if they just did the hallway.
Yeah, maybe.
Soundstage situation.
Yeah, because I mean a lot of sets have those kinds of like lockers and stuff. It looks really good for a public school if that is a set. I would highly like bravo to the set designers if they did that, because it looks really good. But yeah, I mean, they could have just rented out a school for a day or something, a couple hours. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was an abandoned school. LA has a lot of abandoned like random ass sets, I feel, that are used for TVs shows. So I don't know, but yeah, maybe you're right though about like it would probably be a little easier to create that than, because you know, you don't see the whole school, you just see that little section. So they probably didn't, if they did create it, they wouldn't have had to create lockers for the entire school.
Right, that's true. Anne, I was intrigued to hear this from you, because Anne says Halloween is her favorite holiday. I think that's a very rare opinion. I do know people whose favorite holidays are Halloween, But I, you know, it's very interesting. And it's not really how I would peg Anne's personality, which I think it gives her a little bit of a quirk, which I like. But what is your favorite holiday?
Oh my gosh, that's such a hard question. I would have to say either 4th of July or Christmas.
No. That was like what Why? I was thinking.
Really?
Yeah.
Or Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving was my only other one because of like the traditions that my family has around it. But yeah, those would be my top three.
Yes. Oh yeah. My gosh. Well, because 4th of July this past, like recently, my sister, my mom and I have been trying to do something ever since we all got like are now all living in the States to try to like get together. And we live a little closer to each other, like since I moved to Nashville and Brooklyn moved to St. Louis. Both of our birthdays, my mom and I's birthday is in July, too. So like we try to have a little moment. And also I do love fireworks. I really support, you know, if you can in your cul-de-sac and not like start a fire to do like small sparklers. I like those.
Yeah. That's the sucky thing about living in Arizona is we have a fire ban literally from like May, sometimes April to like September, October, just because anything can catch fire and then start the wildfires.
Right. It's so dry on the West Coast, especially Arizona. It's a freaking desert. So yeah, that sucks. I do understand.
Yeah, but I did that growing up. I love the sparklers.
Yeah.
And the firecrackers. We thought those were the bomb.
Literally the bomb.
The bomb.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I do know a lot of people that have Halloween as their favorite. I think that it's very interesting to me. It's because, well, not because, it's like that it's a certain kind of person that when they find each other, like, oh my God, my favorite is Halloween too. My favorite's Halloween too. And then it's because of October, I feel too. If people's favorite holiday is Halloween, then their favorite month is probably all of October.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
So,
that's a good point.
This was the first time too, also when April has her sarcasm of, yay, Anne is here. And I don't know that it was that, I just don't know that it was that blatant before, like her sarcasm directed at Anne. But we're definitely starting to see her animosity and there's like no reason for it, I feel.
Yeah, because the spark between her and Andy hasn't started yet.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe she could just be like, this person isn't even supposed to be here. And she wants to be here, and I don't want to be here. So, like, why are you here? You
know? Right. Yeah. And April's just angsty.
Yeah, this is true. We have a Jerry moment here too.
Do we?
Where she's like, yes, because she's like, listen, guys, I've told these people, you know, the only people that are invited are the people in this room plus Donna and Leslie. So make sure you don't say anything. And then Tom comes in and he's like, hey. Like, we're going, and he found out from Jerry.
He has this sad look on his face. It's so sad. It breaks my heart a little.
Well, it's because he doesn't want to let anybody down, you know?
Jerry.
And if you really didn't want Tom to know, you should have told everybody.
Yeah.
But I think she also didn't want to be the bitch who was excluding someone at the same time.
I know. Totally. And she just got there too late because that's what she was trying to do. But then like Jerry had already screwed it up, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, and then Tom has a sleaze moment where he's like, I can't wait to see how tiny your costume is. And I'm like, ugh.
Gross. Sleazy Tom. Those are two stings right there.
Yep.
I do love, also, side note, you mentioned that you liked how Anne kind of has this quirk because you wouldn't have thought that she was a Halloween gal. Mm-hmm. I do love how playful she's being. I wrote that
she's
too.
She's excited.
Like, yeah. And that's, I think, honestly, I feel like there's others that maybe I'll go back and forth on. But for right now, my favorite line is like, hey, kids, pump your own stomachs this year.
Yeah, that's a good line.
It's really funny. Also, did you see that the shot of Anne clapping her hands is like in the intro?
Yeah.
Like this is when she's doing that part in the intro.
Yeah.
I like that.
I did put that together. Yeah. But not this season. I think it's next season that it starts. This season, she's still holding the newspaper.
Right.
I triple checked that because I saw it and I was like, that's the opening. Did they change it already? But no, this episode, they still have the newspaper one for her.
Right.
We have Leslie and Anne out in the courtyard now talking. And Leslie kind of does look like a serial killer. She's got her cork board, right? And Anne makes this comment that she looks like a serial killer. She's got the cork board with his school picture on it and like all these strings that are connecting. And then she has this map. That's what they're looking at on the table with all these post-its of like where he's been or where he would be. Yeah. And all this, I'm like, this is creepy.
It's so creepy. And like the trails of how he would like get there.
Yeah.
How
diligent, because I was sitting there thinking and I was like, I barely have enough time to get where I'm supposed to be on time. Like, how are you getting to these places to see how he could get, like, this is so elaborate.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then Jerry gets stuck in the cobwebs, which is hilarious.
Yep.
And they said it takes 10 days to clean up his mess. That's a long time.
Well, you have to think,
how
too.
How does he do that?
So I don't know if you, have you ever teepeed someone's house?
No.
Yeah, I did it once. Because we did it for... we did it in middle school.
You would think it would be the other way around, I feel.
Yeah, I was very much a tag-along on that.
Okay.
I wasn't like, let's go teepee people's houses. No, that was, God. Hey, we're going to go teepee this house. And I was sleeping over at that friend's house. And I was like, okay, I guess we're doing this. And we were friends with the guys, so it wasn't like, you know, we were being evil to anybody. Like, I'm pretty sure they had done it before.
It wasn't as vicious.
Yeah, it wasn't as vicious. But I'll tell you, I can't remember if it was that or if another one of my friends, because, you know, this is a long time ago. I can't remember if it was this time that we teepeed somebody or someone else in my neighborhood got teepeed and it rained. That's when it takes a long time to pick up, because toilet paper, as everyone should know, hopefully, when it hits liquid is gross, first of all.
Yes.
And it clumps up. And if you try to tear it, if you try to get it out, it tears apart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's disgusting. So think about putting like three rolls of toilet paper into somebody's tree and then it rains. That's what she's saying, right? Because, you know, they're like, well, he's just teepeeing a statue. It's not that big of a deal. Like, sure, no. And if it rained and it was on a statue, wouldn't be that big a deal. But it's in trees and bushes and grass.
Yeah.
That's when it sucks. So
yeah. And then he's doing, in addition to that, he's doing even more stuff, probably like defacing and all that shit.
Right. Well, and later on, we can talk about this when we get there too, but when Andy and Leslie go to TP his house, they're also throwing eggs. So I wonder if he also has egged the property too. And that takes a long time. That's gross too.
Yes. Oh my God. And then it gets like stuck on there. You have to scrape it off or something.
What is it with Greg Daniels and Mike Schur and like egging things, because that happens in The Office too.
I know! Did you go back and watch this scene to see if you saw Pekaitis?
I have every time now I watch it.
Yeah.
Yep. But this is one of the things I'm talking about, right? Like with the editing or the camera work, it's got to be one or the other, because if you're not really looking for him, you don't see him.
Yeah.
It's really well done. And even in the replay later, right? It's very well done, where it's like, holy shit, how did I miss that?
Right.
But it's easy to miss.
Yeah. And I think that's something that 24 was famous for. I think that's what they're talking about. But yeah, absolutely. I was like, oh my God, it's him. He's there. You totally see him. And then also they have that Jerry getting stuck in the cobwebs is such a distraction as well. So yeah, it's probably definitely both of the editing and camera work. Good job on that. And writing. I wonder who, you know, did that, Mike Schur.
Well, and I'm wondering too, if like, did he know that the cobwebs were going to become a distraction, or was he just waiting for something to distract Leslie?
Probably.
Like, how long was he waiting?
Yeah, I would assume that he was just waiting, or he probably just was going to sneak in without a distraction and Leslie wouldn't have seen him anyways.
Well, he had the mustache on.
Right. And then obviously when that happened, he capitalized on the moment and was like, okay, I gotta make a run for it.
Yeah. So Andy is being hired by Leslie to work for the Parks Department, basically as security, right, for the statue.
Yeah.
And he's not paying attention, and she checks in with him to see if he got it, right? And he's
right.
He's like, wait, what? And I just had a flashback to being a teacher. Because I feel like that's your life, and anybody who is out there and listening, and as a teacher or even a parent, you say something and then they're immediately like, okay, but like, what are we supposed to be doing? And you're like, are you kidding me?
I just explained all of this.
Like, yes, I just explained all of this. But this whole interaction is wonderful to me for a couple reasons. The playoff between Dave and Leslie is so great. It's mm-hmm. wonderful. Like, she's like, well, you know, use brute force if you have to. And he's like, don't do that. And you look at poor Andy and he's like, I don't know who to listen to.
He's already not understanding. So now he's even more confused.
You're just adding more confusion onto him. What are you doing?
These are two improv masters. Just like the timing is mm-hmm. so perfect.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I would love to know if that was all improv or if that was written. I'm sure they did parts that were improv. Right. Yeah. But I think you're right. Just having that skill set of being able to hop off of each other like that was just so well done. And then, I mean, of course, Chris Pratt does a beautiful job of playing that, like, I'm so confused face. Right. And then Leslie, like, does her little nod, like, yeah, do it, without Dave being able to see. And Andy smiles. And Dave's like, no, don't do that. Okay. He's like, oh, yeah, OK, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Oh, right. Yeah. Ugh. What a great trio to be in front of the camera working together.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I have another thing to say. I have many things to say about this because I just loved this scene.
Yeah.
The other thing is, though, when I think about how this scene goes and then everything with Leslie and Dave following the rest of the episode, Ben would have never let her do this.
Interesting.
You know, like, I think he finds her meddling really cute. To a degree, but he also grounds her a lot. And I don't think Dave has the balls to do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's trying to subtly stop her. But, you know, I wrote down later in my notes that this relationship doesn't seem healthy to me in this episode specifically, because she's kind of stepping on him. She's doing the bulldozering thing, right?
Yeah.
But Dave doesn't really stick up for himself, and he, you know, he's just like, well, I really like her, I'm gonna kind of let it happen type situation.
Exactly.
When you can tell he doesn't really want to be doing this. He said even, like, let's go to Anne's party, you know, and that stuff. And I feel bad for him, but I'm also like, you know, I look at the relationship she has with Ben, and he speaks against her. And I think that's why that relationship works.
Right.
Because she, you know, he encourages her discipline and her determination to a point, but when it becomes too crazy, he's willing to, like, step up and be like, hey, like, no, this, like, is not logical
perspective.
Right. Yeah.
But I do think that Leslie just does stuff anyways, even with Ben too. She's just like, whatever, you know, I'm just gonna do it anyway because I already have my heart set on it. I totally see the different dynamic of that.
Right. Well, and I think the other reason that I thought it was unhealthy, this relationship in this episode specifically, is I don't know if she sees it or she sees it and she doesn't care, but Dave's career is kind of on the line.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
My only other thought with that is, like, you know, I don't know if she realizes it. And if she does, that's kind of shitty, you know, because he is making sacrifices for his job. I feel bad.
Right. And she's more of like, well, why aren't you helping me? Mm-hmm. Like, she just really doesn't see it.
And she doesn't get
like,
it.
Why? You should be on the same side as me. Like, you should be as, like, amped up as me.
Right.
And I really relate to her in that moment where I feel like I would be Leslie for sure. Where I'm just like, yeah, but you should be the one helping me. I don't care that you're dating me and we need to, like, be in this together. Monica and Chandler have a line like that too, where Monica's like trying to get the cleaning lady to, like, prove that she, like, that the cleaning lady has stolen her stuff. Mm-hmm. And Monica's like, come on, we're in this together, trying to get Chandler to, like, hit on her so that he sees her bra or whatever. Right. And Chandler's like, I fear a jury will find it the same way. Which is so true. I find that this is a tangent, I'm so sorry, but I definitely find that later in my life, in my years, I am definitely relating more to the Monica and the Leslie even more than I thought that I was.
Just like the orderliness?
Yeah, the orderliness and not being as flexible, and just like, I am very passionate about what I get into. And so I have a tunnel vision sometimes of, like, getting that goal done. And, being a part of a team is hard. So, like, when you're in that marriage or, like, with Louis C.K. or I keep saying Louis C.K. and not Dave. But whatever. With Dave, it's like you have to work together and be respective of it, what everyone's going through. So, anyways.
Anyways.
I like her line of Pawnee pumpernickel.
Yeah.
They saved the recipe instead of people dying, which is really hilarious. Right. And they mention the Pawnee Bread Factory pretty frequently.
They do. Another consistent storyline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Andy's on the Pawnee payroll, which is the first time I think we hear that.
Yeah. And this is his first job, right? Mm-hmm. She's given it to him. And this is my favorite line. And I did not write it down word for word. So when we post it, I'll make sure to look it up and write it down for you, like line for line. But Andy says something along the lines of, I'm going to make $32 tonight. I owe Leslie everything I have, which after tonight will be $39. Which I love. I also just love...
imagine everyone's doing the math to figure out how much he had.
Right. And I just also love Andy because as hard as it is to believe, especially seeing who he is later on in the series, he's growing up a little bit. You know, he wants to do right by Leslie. He's like, listen, she's given me another shot. She's helping me out. I'm going to do anything for her. Like, and I'm like, that's I feel like a different Andy than we had in season one. So it's really cool to start seeing this development.
Yeah, totally. And I don't think that he would have had that mindset or maturity had Anne not broken up with him.
Mm-hmm. Accurate. Yeah, she was a crutch for him. Well, and we don't hear him say, I'm doing this to win Anne back, right? He's turning his life around, and it seems more like for him than for her.
Right.
I'm team Andy all the way.
Well, I'm at the Halloween party now.
Yeah, I am. So Ivan and I talk about this all the time, that our wedding is going to be two worlds colliding. That we're, right. Like, we're really excited about all these people meeting each other for the first time, which I feel like that is kind of some of where Anne's giddiness came from, right? She's like, all these people the people that I work with and I like at work are going to be there, and the people that I like from the Parks Department are going to be there. It's going to be this fun thing. But she didn't expect that the worlds were going to be colliding with the two people she has the least in common with.
Right.
So it's basically her two bosses. And that
are very stone-faced, like, as it is. So their personalities are already, like, kind of awkward and cold, and no one knows how to interact with that. Like, when one person is cold-faced or stone-faced, the other person has to be, like pick up the slack, and neither of them are willing to do that.
Well, and this is the thing, too. I love Dr. Harris as a character, love Ron Swanson, but I wouldn't want to be in Anne's shoes.
Oh, my gosh. No. That is what makes it so funny. Right. She's like, what is she eating, by the way? Did you catch this? Oh, I feel like she's eating an apple. Because it's like a sliced apple, maybe. Because it looked like it was a chip, but then it like didn't crunch. I don't know. It looks softer than a chip. So I was really hung up on that. I think it's an apple. I'm going to say it's an apple just for my black or white thinking. I need an answer. But I don't know.
But I'm also like, Anne would be someone who's going to put apples out at a party.
Yeah.
So that fits.
Yeah.
She's a nurse. She's about being healthy.
Sure.
I get it.
Sure.
Okay. Love it.
First Pirate Ron costume.
Yes.
It comes back for those of you who don't know. It does.
Yep. I know. I was thinking about that during, and I was going to ask you if I was crazy or if it is something that comes back, because I thought, I was like, I've seen him in that before.
Oh, totally. And Anne even has a line, I think. I don't know which Halloween it is, but she has a line where she says, didn't you wear that last year, or weren't you a pirate last year? It was at the April and Andy Halloween party. Also, sorry, guys, there's lots of spoilers in here, but also I don't care because I'm really sorry. But it came out a long time ago, and I just feel like I can't not say how exciting it is to like see their development. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I'll just put this out there so people aren't as mad at us. It happens in The Office, in the Office Ladies podcast. They do that. And then there's also Harry Potter and the Sacred Text. Have you ever heard of that podcast? Oh my gosh, it's amazing. I need to watch that or listen to that. So they go through each book chapter by chapter and they give you they do kind of the same thing. They give a quick summary and then they analyze it. And they analyze it as if it was a sacred text. So they use different techniques, like how do the Catholics analyze the Bible? How do Protestants analyze the Bible? How do Jews analyze? You know, so they go through, and they even, you know, they do it for many different religions, and they go through each Harry Potter book. It's amazing. But anyway, they tell you, spoiler alert, if you have not watched Harry Potter or have not read it yet, turn this off for a hot second. Yeah. Okay, but in the first episode of the podcast, they mentioned Dumbledore dying.
Yeah, okay.
So like, people can't be mad at us. Right. It happens. Like, you need to go into it knowing that we're going to talk about other things.
And we've talked a lot about other stuff too. So as far as a lot of other spoilers that they already know. So by the time, I feel like now we're getting into the time where we can understand. So, okay. Thank you, listener, for letting us talk that out. Sorry about it. But not sorry at the same time. Anyways, yes, this Halloween thing costume for Ron definitely comes back at April and Andy's house in a future season. So,
Yeah, I was just going to say first, though, that Derek, before Mark even arrives, I'm like, he's dressed like Mark. And then Mark walks in. So I thought that was really well done because I could immediately tell that made sense to me. And then there was that point where Anne's friends are talking to her and Mark.
Uh-huh.
And now he's changed. He's in that basketball uniform, right? And they're like, we love Andy. And I was like, how? Like, I love him as a person, as a partner.
I know. And that's, I felt bad for Mark. I wrote that too, where I was like, I don't know if that's necessarily a friend thing either. Like saying you should get back with Andy in front of her new boyfriend. That seems weird.
Yeah, damn. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if they were just trying to intimidate him or what.
Yeah. 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 I think that Andy just is more lovable, like a golden retriever. So that's all they're thinking about. They're not thinking about how good or not good he was for Anne. Which, again, not super what I would say is a friend, but that's okay. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Derek.
That's why I'm friends with you and not them. That's fine.
But yes, Derek is dressed as a straight person. And then Mark walks up. That timing is so funny.
So good.
I did reach out to this actor named Blake Lee and April's other boyfriend, Ben, whose name is Jason Duvendek. I'm sure you got some stuff on him, too. And I haven't heard back yet. So if anyone's listening to this, by anyone, I mean anyone who knows them, or if you are them, please message me back. Park Pals Podcast on Instagram, please. But I did find that Blake Lee is in a bunch of Hallmark movies, and I think he just got married recently because I follow him on Instagram now, and his husband is so cute, and they are just the most precious couple ever. And then for Josh Duvendek, who plays Ben, he's on the Groundlings Company, which is really interesting. It's an improv theater in Los Angeles, if you're not familiar with it. And so he's on the company, which means that he plays there regularly. And just Groundlings is huge. Again, if you're not familiar with it, Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Dax Shepard, bunch of people go to the Groundlings. And either if you're not on the company, then it's just a really great improv class, very character based. Lots of SNL people also did the Groundlings. Yeah, I mean, once that opens back up, if it's not already opened up, then go see Josh Duvendek. I want to see him.
That's cool.
So there's that talking head of them watching Pachytis. She made out with me in my cup car. Pretty neat. I shouldn't have said that. That's clear to me now. Love that.
And I love that the documentary crew still uses it.
I know. Right? I know.
It's so funny. So I'll be videotaping the football players. And then if they drop something or if they say something dumb, they'll be like, don't put that out there. And I'm like, I'm here to make you look good. I'm not going to put something out there that's going to make you look like crap, like you saying that or whatever. Right. But that was funny to me from my perspective, because he's basically saying, I shouldn't have said that. Like, please don't air that, basically. And here it is.
Which is the funniest part. That's hilarious. There is a deleted scene I wanted to share with you where Leslie and him are really having such a fun back and forth. And you actually see them more as friends. And it's romantical, which I think is really interesting, because we had talked about how that scene at the statue is more of this isn't really great that this is happening right now. But so this deleted scene kind of builds their relationship that it actually is them, they are a good couple together. And Dave is just so enamored with her. So you're right on the money when you said that he just wants to kind of impress her and he really likes her. So he's going to do this stuff anyways, even though it's probably really detrimental to his police life. But it really builds this cute relationship, because I just don't think we've seen enough of that. And I personally don't think that we see enough of it even in later episodes with them.
No.
That he's
you don't get to the point where you think back and you're like, oh, they were really cute as a couple.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So this scene definitely gave me that, I feel, but they deleted
it.
And yeah. And it's also, I mean, maybe that's why they cut it, because they didn't want that storyline. Mm. But I will say, there was it also builds on the fact that like I said, he's just so enamored and so in love with her that she's playing on the radio, like on the cop radio, the intercom thing. And the other person on the other side of the intercom is like, who is this? Like, this is not good, you know? And mm-hmm. Dave is like playing around too. And I'm like, Dave, you can't do that.
It's your job, dude.
I know. But and then Leslie just keeps playing as well. And so watching it, it's really funny because they're laughing and having a good time. And it's really cute from that perspective. But from the other side, you're just like what we've been talking about before. You're like, this is not like good for you to fuck around on your police job.
Yeah, no, not at all.
It also sucks. Can I just say that it sucks that Louis C.K. is such a sick, twisted dumbass in real life? Because I just love Dave.
He's so talented.
I do. I like the character of Dave.
Yeah. Yeah, he does a great job playing this character. Yeah.
But anyways, that's all I'll say about that. Moving yep. on.
I don't know if you noticed this or if I'm just dumb and the 50 million times I've seen this, I haven't caught it. There's an added scene in here that wasn't there originally. It's not even like a full scene. It's like a comment from Dave. So he says,
what does it say?
He says to Leslie, we could, you know, we have everything covered. We should just leave and go to Anne's party. Right. Well, then he turns to the camera and he says, because, you know, like that's part of my route, you know, to kind of justify why they would go to her party when apparently he's right. on duty or whatever.
Duty. Yes.
But that I've never seen that before until I watched it when getting ready for this. So I'm wondering if that okay. they were like, well, it's just 10 extra seconds and it adds something. So they, you know. Opened it up.
It could be. It could very well be. I know they're doing that with The mm-hmm. Office, so maybe they're doing it for Parks and Rec too. Oh my gosh. If you guys are Office fans, which I'm pretty sure you are if you're listening to this, the Peacock deleted scenes that they show on The Office are amazing. Mm-hmm. They don't have all of them, but like there are serious through lines with these deleted scenes. They're not just throwaways. Mm. It's wild. They like take out a lot of stuff, obviously because of time constraints, and they did a great job even with the cutting the scenes. Yeah. But it's nuts. So, yeah, I can't. We've seen in this one, too. There's like so much more depth with those deleted scenes, I feel, than people think. So, yeah, that's awesome. I didn't catch
that. I think this is I don't know if she says this either. Then he says, well, that, you know, we'll leave and we'll go this way because it's part of my route or whatever. And then she says, can't we just fire a warning shot over his head?
Is really? That in the original? Okay, I don't know. I thought it was, but maybe
okay,
it's just,
maybe it is.
I don't know, because usually on Wikipedia, it'll say, or Parks Wiki, it'll say, like, they added deleted scenes after on the, you know, website, and then it'll explain which deleted scenes they added, and that wasn't part of it, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't a deleted scene, because they filmed so much shit, and they only released probably a little bit of it to the audience after the fact, so.
Right. Well, and it's not even, like, a full scene, right? It's actually just, like, a continuation of what was already happening. So it's harder to catch if it was a deleted scene or not.
Okay, well, fans, weigh in here if you are listening to this mm-hmm. and tell us if you agree or don't agree. I'd be very interested. But good catch. Thanks. Regardless. And it is interesting because even if it wasn't a deleted line, I can just say that I am finding a lot of stuff that I didn't catch before, even though I am a mega fan and I've watched this 100,000 times. We're watching it with a research perspective now, which is so different than just watching it in the background or watching it as a fan to just have on for entertainment. So it's very different. So it very well could be that you just missed it as a fan, but maybe it was a deleted scene. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm back at these nurses, by the way.
What I do have is I don't have one of her friends.
Okay.
I don't have the first one that's trying to get Mark to go home. I have the second one. Whose name is Paula, and in real life, her name is Nicole Pettis, who's had a little bit of a stint on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Dexter, and Cold Case. Yeah, I had nothing on the other friend. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, the other
friend.
Did you
find anything?
The other friend that I found was Jean Simpson.
Okay.
Yeah, Jean Simpson. She played Diane. She is on IMDb.
Okay.
As far as I could tell. And so she
looked in the wrong spot.
I don't know, but she's definitely, or maybe there was another friend that we missed, but this Jean was the second one, and she came back for flu season and meet and greet. Like, we see her come back a mm-hmm. couple times as the nurse, obviously. But I researched both of them, and maybe this is where the disconnect was. I don't know. I did look up both of their names, and I can't find their social medias or websites or anything. Mm-hmm. so I do wonder if maybe they just have it private because they don't want people reaching out to them. I did find Nicole Pettis's Actors Access page, which is a casting site. So good job on her for having her resume up there. She's done a ton of stuff. But yeah, I looked them up because I wanted to get some, you know, I wanted to chat with them, but I didn't find them. So if they are listening or if anyone knows them, that'd be great. But if not, they did a great job. And I really had fun laughing at them or with them.
Yeah. Well, this is also so weird to me as a friend thing to do. Try to get your, like, this makes me think, has Anne been cheated on before? Like, what douchebag actually says yes and goes home and doesn't know that it's a ploy?
Right. And you then, like, the second one, I love Mark's look to camera after it happens the second time is exactly how I feel. Because then you're wondering, like, is this really a test? Or do you really want to, like, are you a friend of Anne's and not a friend of Anne's? And you're just trying to fuck me. What?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was the perfect look to camera. It's beautifully done.
My next line that I have is where she says that Pachytis is looking turdish and Dave is like turdish. And she's like, yes, like a turd, like a little turd. I love that line.
That's so good.
I want to punch this kid. Oh, man. Pachytis, like just watching him mess around with the skateboards. Very well casted. That kid did a great job making me want to like hate him.
He did great.
What a annoying, obnoxious, annoying, obnoxious kid.
Yeah. Very, very well done. Mm-hmm. The next note I have is just the way she yells Pachytis is my favorite.
Pachytis!
Yeah.
That comes back too. Yeah. That's such a signature. Like she says that or she yells in the next episode he's in.
Yeah. And it's only two episodes, but it's like monumental. I don't know if you've ever seen How I Met Your Mother.
I have, but I'm not as huge of a fan of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it. Not fan. I phrased that wrong. Uh-huh. I am a fan. I just don't know as much about it.
Exactly. Right. Haven't watched it over and over again. Same dealio here. But my brother just made his girlfriend watch it with him. And so I've seen a couple episodes and, you know, recently. And it makes me think of Robin Scherbatsky, like, hates this coworker she has, Patrice. And so she always yells, "No one asked you, Patrice."
I do remember that part.
Yeah, yeah.
Robin is Kobe Smulders,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Who she's actually married to somebody who was on SNL.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I love her. I think she's great.
Agreed.
Huge fan.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I remember the Patrice part. Yeah. That's really interesting.
So that's what I think of.
And that's the thing, too. It's like the people who made the character famous are not the actual character. Like, Leslie made Pachytis famous.
Right.
And Robin made Patrice famous. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Or a signature. So that's fascinating to me.
Yeah, that's good stuff. This part where Leslie grabs the pit.
Gross.
And I've never caught this before, but she just goes, "Believe me now." Like, so quiet. And Dave is so confused. He's like, what? Why would I believe you now? Like,
right. What are you talking about? oh my God. She says it's still warm.
Yeah,
that's
gross.
So nasty.
That's disgusting.
I got a real nasty feeling in my heart when she said that.
Yeah, agreed. Well, and then
Dave's
she goes,
like,
send this to the lab. Yeah.
Right,
oh my gosh. We take a sidestep back to Anne's house, and Dr. Harris, like, the party's lame. Dr. Harris is like, "I'm gonna leave." And he takes a book.
I have so much to ask you about this.
Holly.
Yeah, rude.
What are you doing?
No.
Rude. Accurate. I have thoughts about that. And she doesn't say anything to him. Like, I'm like, are you scared about your job or what? Because, like, if somebody was taking a book off my bookshelf and was like, "I've been meaning to read this, I'm just going to take this," I'd be like, no.
Yeah. See, I would like to think that I would say no, but in my heart of hearts, I feel like I would be really, like, taken aback, and I have this thing where I'm just like, oh, okay, sure. And I do that thing where I'm just like, trying to please everybody. So I feel like in that moment I related a little bit to Anne, because not only is it her boss, but that's just like maybe the personality of like, all right, I'm confused, but also like, sure, you can have the book. What? I, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
God.
Yeah. 3 hours later, would you be upset about it?
Yeah, probably. I would probably think about it and just be like, oh. Especially the way he took it. It's one thing if you ask,
right.
Which leads me to my next thing. Okay, I don't love when people bring something to a party and then take it without it being offered back to them. Like, in my opinion,
right.
Let me explain, okay? Because a lot of people have mm-hmm. lots of thoughts about this. I've had conversations with multiple people, and there are a lot of opinions about this. But so if Anne had said, like, Dr. Harris, do you want to take your wine? Like, it's not even open. You could totally take it back. That's one thing. But, like, mm-hmm. when you bring something, I feel, to a party, this is my opinion, that's kind of like your gift to the host, because the host, like, cleaned, put on the electricity for your ass, like, you know, is hosting you as a guest. You are their guest or whatever. But, like, this is the gift back. The guest brings the gift, kind of. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, especially like because the host usually has food and stuff. So I've definitely, and I'm not saying that you can't take things back. I don't think that's like a hard and fast rule. But I do think that the guest should be offered it back. Like, I think the host should be like, do you want to take this? Because I'm not going to drink it. Because I've definitely taken stuff back when it's been given back to me. And most mm-hmm. of the time I'm like, no, you keep it. Like, I'm fine leaving it here. Like, that's for you. And the only time I've really taken it back is when someone says, like, I literally don't like wine, so take it back. And then I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. I know not to bring that next time. Like, and maybe that's just right. me being, you know, overly analytical of literally everything. But that's just like, I just don't feel like it's good. I don't feel like it's tactful. I feel like it's tacky.
No, yeah. You and I are very similar on this. We've had these conversations about the same thing before mm-hmm. because both of our moms are Southern mamas.
Mm.
And so we were raised that you do not ever, ever attend a party empty-handed.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I was taught you never show up to anything empty-handed.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I would never take anything back. I have, same thing that you said, I have had people say, I don't want this, so do you want to take it back? And sometimes I will, sometimes I won't. Depends on the situation. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's like what you're saying. Like, you don't just say, I'm going to take this.
Right. Because
your party was lame. So.
Right. He literally says, this isn't that fun. I wrote yeah. that line.
Well, and Mark is like, you know, it's fine. And I'm like, have you looked around?
Like, yeah.
No.
Yeah, he's just trying to be a supportive boyfriend, I guess. But maybe also right. he doesn't really know. No, I was going to say maybe he doesn't really know what it's like to like have a rager. But he does party, or he used to party with all of mm-hmm. those like hoes. So I'm sure he right. knows. But he's just trying to be supportive. And,
right.
I mean, you know, in full like well-roundedness perspective, like that is Dr. Harris's personality character. So I get what they're doing, right. but it definitely made me feel something in some kind of way, which is the point of entertainment mm-hmm. in general. But I was like, nope, that's mean. That's rude. There is a deleted scene here where April says Derek broke up with her so he can focus more on his boyfriend, but she thinks that's just an excuse. So it's very interesting because we don't see too much detail about the Derek Ben April vibe relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she starts drinking straight from the vodka bottle. So they cut that part okay. out. So she starts drinking from the vodka bottle, and then there's this later scene when Anne asks if they worked it all out, and April was like, yeah, Derek and Ben are basically dating each other, and I'm gonna still make out with Ben when they're drunk. And then they agreed that they could see other people, but if April makes out with any other gay guys, she has to tell them and disclose that info. And I was like, wasn't it like basically their deal before, but now there's just more rules around it? And
right.
then Derek says, Derek is like, but we're not going to define it. And this is, they're explaining the situation to Anne. And Anne's like, yeah, good thinking, like sarcastically, because that's impossible to define or label.
Right.
Like, what the fuck is even happening?
I'm almost glad they left that out, because now when we see the relationship ending for real, it's kind of under April's maturity. She's growing and she's like, this is, you know, I actually want to take a relationship seriously.
Yeah.
And I'm going to step away from this.
Right.
So
right.
I like
and
that.
She's starting to find someone that she can actually do that with, or that she would want to do that with, you know,
mm-hmm.
whereas, you know, in this relationship, it's more or quote unquote relationship, you know, No judgment. Okay, like 5% mm-hmm. judgment. But 95%, like, I get it. We're not conforming. Don't put people in boxes. But also, what? Like, she doesn't, I don't think this is real. You know, it's not sustainable right. is what I'm trying to get at.
Right, exactly. I love her face makeup. I think it fits her very well.
Oh my gosh, me
well.
Too.
I forgot to say that earlier.
Did you notice that there was a rando police officer that brings Pachytis in?
No.
Yeah, there's a random officer. I think it was must have been an extra or something. And I was like, why are there more people involved in this?
Right. That's kind of scary for Dave.
I mean, I guess maybe you could like call him in for questioning. But even then, it probably shouldn't be at the parks department then. It should be at the right. at the station. But it's okay. This world is heightened. I understand it's not real. But he does that perfect impression of Leslie's pursed face, yes. like pursing her lips. That was so funny.
Yes, it's so good. And then she's outside the door making
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then we have the introduction of Burt Macklin.
Yes!
Andy is giving birth to the FBI agent right now, and I'm so excited about it.
Big deal! I work for the FBI.
He comes in with his shirt all tucked in.
Yeah. Oh my god, that is hilarious.
I love that whole shtick is great for me.
I know, and then poor little Andy starts crying because Pachytis is so mean. I know. He's being a jerk! Yeah.
Okay, kids can be dicks, though.
Oh my god.
I'm not gonna lie.
They can really hit hard.
Yeah. So then you have the age range where kids don't really know what you shouldn't say out loud. Right. Like when I was teaching first grade and I came to school one day and it had been like, it was just a really rough morning. So I hadn't had time to put makeup
right.
on. And they're like, yeah, you don't look as pretty today. Yeah. So they don't really have that processing of like, maybe I shouldn't say this out loud.
Oh, right.
Right?
Right.
But then there's the age of kids, which you get into like middle school, early high school, where they're super hormonal mm-hmm. and they know how to push the buttons mm-hmm. and they're not afraid to do it. They're right. not afraid to hurt people's feelings.
Right. And their only world right now is like their present moment, you know what I mean? So they're not thinking right. about how this is going to affect you or and adults on the other hand have 800,000 other things on their plate, so like we're already like freaked out and you know stressed and whatever, so mm-hmm. to have a little middle schooler tell you that or elementary schooler or whoever makes it all the worse. It's awful.
Yeah, I know. I feel so bad for Andy, especially because
yeah, kids are terrible.
We're seeing him step up, right? We're seeing him want to be mm-hmm. a better guy, and now he's crying. I feel so bad.
I know. This whole thing, I was like, fuck you, Pachytis.
Yeah.
I know that. I was trying to take the higher road, but I was feeling some kind of
yeah.
way.
Same.
And then, so I am back at the party. And I can't remember if this was before or after Pachytis, but basically Ron feels comfortable for some reason saying that almonds give him the squirts because he can't find any mounds.
Seriously, though, that is so awkward. Like, why is that being brought up around people you work with?
Right. And Anna's just having a time getting people to like this freaking party. People are just being really rude.
And I love the contrast of the fact the person she didn't want there is the person that comes and turns it around for her.
I know. Okay, before we get to Tom, I have a quick question for you, and you can think about it if you need to, but do you have a favorite candy?
Oh, gosh. I have so many. Holly.
Oh, my God.
We've started doing movie nights on Sundays because we weren't blocking out time to actually spend together. It was just like, if we have time, we'll make it happen. But we were like, listen. We need to actually do something that's quality together. So we have Sunday night movie night, and which is really fun. But I am like, okay, I'm going to make popcorn and we're going to get a shit ton of candy. And so I go to the dollar store and I probably spend $20 on candy that lasts like a couple weeks.
I love
I just go overboard.
Store.
Yeah, but I really like Skittles. Mm-hmm. Really like Starburst.
Okay, so you're more of like the gummy kind of like chewy textury things?
Yeah, but I also like different chocolates. Like I like Kit Kats and I like Reese's. Those are going to be my chocolate choices. But I also just really like ice cream. So sometimes I'm like, sugar. I'm not going to do popcorn and candy tonight. I'm just going to do a big ass bowl of ice cream.
I know. I really wish that there was a bucket of cake. Just like
I know. I was listening to Kaboom the other day and I was like, this is the most accurate thing I think we've ever recorded.
I know. Mine is the reason I asked that also because I want to do a vote on our stories. Mm-hmm. So look out for that. But my favorite, my top is Reese's.
Like, yeah, so good.
Hands down. any kind of, peanut butter is my most favorite thing. Like, I will definitely, so any kind of like pie, bread, cookies, anything that with peanut butter in it, I will eat. But yeah, and now Reese's has all these like new things coming out. It's like smaller ones with like the Reese's pieces inside of the cup. Yeah. And like, it's like wild. So yeah, when Ron said that his favorite, or that he wanted to do Almond Joy instead, or no, Mounds instead of Almond Joy, I was like, I wonder what my favorite would be.
Yeah.
But also, like, stop being so picky and just be grateful that you're at a fucking party that you did not host.
This is another reason we
I've had issues in the past with people being ungrateful. Yeah. I have a lot of resentment and I'm very, like, sorry about that, but also, like, get it together. Anyways.
This is another reason we need to go to Vegas together, though, because the Hershey's store there has a wall of Reese's and different kinds that you, like, you can fill a bag up with. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I would do that. Yep. Okay. So yeah, Tom comes in. Okay. Here's all the things that I have before we get to Tom. So first of all, crappy Halloweeners. That is hilarious that is on that's on the park's wall. Love that. Yep. So funny. Andy laughs at it and I think that's funny. Secondly, I don't know if you guys caught this, but so when he comes in as Burt Macklin, he throws the mug against the wall and then that whiteboard easel thing falls. And I was like, I wonder if that was meant to happen because it's fucking hilarious and way too choreographed well if that did happen like on purpose, but it might have been an accident. So that's that. And then Tom has this sweet moment where I might have to make a sweet Tom sting. I don't know. I might have to.
He has his moments. Yeah.
He does. But anyways, he makes the party better. And I love Tom and Wendy as friends. I wish they could have stayed friends because they make such a good team. So
they do, you know, and it made sense as to what, because, you know, I feel like as an audience, sometimes we question like, how have they lasted so long when it's a fake marriage?
Yeah.
But their personalities are really similar and they were friends first. So it just kind of, you know, I think this is a really beautiful interpretation of that. But sadly, we also see that Tom might actually feel for her on a deeper level. We're seeing that in his eyes. Like, I don't want us to have to split up.
I know. Yeah. Cause she's talking to Ron and saying, thank you. I know you know about us. Thanks for not, you know, saying anything, but we'll have a divorce party soon. And that the camera zooms in on Tom and he's just, oh, so sad. Good acting to Aziz.
Which I also have to say, if this was a fake marriage to get your green card, I don't feel like it's a safe option to put together a divorce party, because if anybody was investigating your case, that doesn't look good.
I know, just gonna put it out there. But yeah, and she has that great line of when of Anne saying, you know, thanks for being a doctor and not dressing like a doctor. And then she's like, oh, who would be boring enough to do that? Yeah. And then that's the shot of the nurses in the kitchen. Why is everyone in the kitchen?
Yeah, it's where the food is.
Love that. But this reminds me, and this is something that I'll have to post as well. So Tom does a sketch in Human Giant, that sketch show that I've been talking about a lot, called Swagger Coach. And he teaches Zach Galifianakis how to have swagger. And this is so Tom. So I think that Human Giant was obviously before, but I don't know if they were doing it. No, they weren't doing it at the same time as Parks and Rec, or if there was any overlap. So I'll definitely have to send that slash post that because it is very reminiscent of who Tom was. And then now I'm at fake mom of Pachytis coming in. Her name is Kelly Holden Bashar. Last thing she did as an actor was 2018, but she does have a podcast called Sonder, the improvised podcast. Mm. So check that out. I'm sure, it makes total sense that she's an improviser. Mm-hmm. Everyone is in this show. It's amazing. She's such a Karen. This was so great. Her acting was phenomenal.
Yes.
Oh my God. I don't know who to call about you when she points at Andy.
The President of the United States of America. Fine.
Oh my God. His DNA is all over it, I assume, says Leslie.
Yes.
Peach.
And again, the back and forth, because Dave under his breath is like, we don't know that.
Right, right.
You know.
Exactly. And then I have a note here too, back at Anne's house, a friendly reminder that Anne's house is at 5655 Murrieta Avenue. maybe shouldn't have said that, but also this is public knowledge. So for Parks and Rec fans, so I feel like that's normal. Don't know if anyone lives there. I'm sure that they do. Probably very similar to the house in Breaking Bad. When I drove through New Mexico, saw a bunch of people paused there to take pictures. So that's probably what happens at Ann's house. Again, 5655 Murrieta Avenue in Van Nuys. But back at Ann's house, they're dancing. There's a nurses versus doctor game where they all take shots of vodka, mm-hmm. which like, what even was the game? Like, the game is just like shots.
I think it was who finished it first. But then both sides of the table are giving each other high fives. And I'm like, there's no way both sides won. So what is this?
Yeah, they're just drinking. It's totally fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
I had a funny note, too, that Ron likes the pirate costume of April's other boyfriend, Ben.
I know. It's a beautiful interaction. Mm. Honestly,
like, excellent.
And we have Dave leaves, right?
Yep.
And so now it's just Leslie and Andy, and they're chilling and they're having drinks, and they decide they're gonna go TP Greg's house.
Yeah. And I love Andy's line too here. I might have to make a sweet Andy sing or something when she he says to Leslie, "You're the coolest person I've ever met." I love that. Yeah. I go home when you go home.
I know.
Great interaction.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And, you know, we do see a little bit of Andy-Leslie relationship throughout the series. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of the beginning of that.
Yes, which is beautiful. Exactly.
Yeah, I think she saw potential in him when other people didn't.
Right.
But she did it in a really respectful way where I feel like she wasn't going behind Anne or anything. You know, I think it was...
Yeah.
It was, you know,
I agree.
Not that Anne would be upset, but I think it was just very beautifully done.
Yeah.
They are using the toilet paper they cleaned up in the office because I see them with the trash bags, right? So they're
recycling.
Which is great. And so they get there. First of all, how do they know where Greg lives?
Dude, that is
That's scary.
Another thing that Leslie is being a creeper on, investigating. Yeah.
I bet you it was on that map she had.
Yep.
She probably already had it picked out. She didn't even have to Google or anything.
Right.
She already had it.
She knows the route to get there, too.
I just think this is really cute. He's bringing out the kid in her, mm-hmm. right? So you're seeing this interaction between Andy and Leslie, and Andy's bringing out the kid in Leslie, and Leslie's bringing out the adult in Andy. Obviously not in this moment, but in the episode.
Oh, that's a great perspective. I never thought of it that way. That's really cool.
They're starting to balance each other out. And I think Andy's always going to be more kid than adult, and Leslie's always going to be more adult than kid, you know, like, but right. I think it's just really beautiful that they're opening each other up to those different experiences. Mm-hmm. So
I do love that. And I like that they were drinking beer. I meant to tell you that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that now that I see that they're how hard they're working and having talked to Brooklyn and stuff too, like in their first episode, I think when they were drinking beer in Boys Club, we were like, what are you guys doing drinking out there? Now I'm just like, you know, they deserve to drink too. Like,
I'm 100% on board with them drinking. I just don't know if it's appropriate to do on the premises.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess if you like, well, I guess it, yeah. I guess for me, I'm just like, I get that that's a rule for sure. But as long as they're not being like rowdy, I'm kind of okay with it now. But I've also been working really hard on my flexibility. So maybe that's.
Yeah. Because I know I would get in a lot of trouble. Like I borrowed a company car a couple weeks back because I had to be on the road for like 100 miles in a day. And so they have a car you can rent so you don't put it on your own car. Right. And I was on my way home and I was like, oh, well, I'm going to get wine to take home. But I stopped myself because I was like, if I get caught with wine in this car, I'm sure I could probably get in trouble. I didn't know for sure, but I was like, I'm, you know, it's a possibility that I could get in trouble for having wine in a company car. So I took it back and then I got the wine on the way home with my car. Right. But it's just like the legalities of it.
Yeah, totally. And maybe it's also a balance of like how long you've been in the job too, because Mark and them have been in the job for so long and Ron already like knows and / doesn't care. So that's maybe another layer to it.
Speaking of Ron, I forgot to mention this. I love that he, like, where is this guy coming from that he's, like, in on this party? He's, like, dancing around a little bit and he, you know, we're going to see a different side of Ron. I think this is the first time we're seeing him outside of the office, right?
Yeah,
so this, that's true. It's kind of cool getting to see him like this.
Yeah,
so.
Tom really turned it around, or Tom and Wendy both did. I love that, moving back the dance floor or moving back the couch to create a dance floor. I did want to say really quickly about the TPing. Do you remember when she said, like, this is for pooping on the handball court? Have you ever played handball?
I'm trying to think. I no, my brother had racquetball courts at college, and so he took me 1 year, and that was fun. So if racquetball and handball are similar, then yes, but if
not... Well, I looked it up. I did a bit of a deep dive, and it's like a soccer court online is what I saw anyway. I don't think I've played
it. I have played it.
I might have played it, but...
I played it.
Okay, okay.
PE. I played it in okay. PE. Yep. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I think that we did that. I think every middle school does that. And so basically a match consists of two periods, 30 minutes each. You have seven players. There's a goalkeeper and six people on the field at all times. And the outfield players can touch the ball with any part of their body that's above the knee. So which is why it's called hand. And then once a handball. And then once a player receives possession of the ball, they can pass it, they can hold it, or they can shoot, which like base not shoot a hoop, but shoot into the goal post. So I think that is, it's more like soccer, but it's with your hands, and it's mm-hmm. a smaller ball, I think.
The goal is smaller too.
Oh, right. Much smaller. Yeah. The goalie is like basically standing mm-hmm. yeah. and like takes up the whole goal almost. There's only like a little tiny.
It's more like hockey proportions.
Right. And I think I remember this specifically because one time, and I, like I said, I think this is the game I was playing in middle school, and I was the goalie, and I like thought I was going to like be terrible. I was so scared and embarrassed. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be so awful. I'm not a goalie. And then I was like an okay goalie, actually.
Nice.
I was like, oh my God. And then I remember my crush coming up to me afterward and saying, you're a good goalie. And I was like, oh my God, stop it. But also I was. And also I was really fat in middle school. No. So I probably just took up the whole goal.
Oh, Holly.
I'm not saying that to get any pity. It's the truth and it's hilarious. But yeah, I think that's the sport that it was.
I love you so much.
I'm like cracking up at myself. Okay. Anyways, moving on. So, yes, we have this other mom, the real mom.
Yes, yes. Kathleen M. Darcy. She played small roles on 90210, Glee, Lost, Inspector Gadget.
I saw that she was also in 10 episodes of Grey's Anatomy, which oh, so nice. Maybe you heard her from there
mm-hmm.
Or seen her in that show. So Dave comes by and is like... and then Andy's like, 5-0, 5-0. And I was like, so what good. Does that mean? And oh, so I Googled it.
Yeah, that's the cops. Yep,
that means the cops. I figured it does. Or I figured it meant that because of context clues. But I was like, why do they say 5-0? And apparently the term originated from the 1968 television series Hawaii 5-0, in yeah. which Hawaii was the 50th state to join the police state.
Mm-hmm.
So 5-0 is for 50 because it's 50th state, which is right. very interesting, I feel.
Yeah, that was actually the next thing I was going to say is like that's why Hawaii 5-0, the TV show, is called Hawaii 5-0. Movies and TV shows have always been a huge way that my family bonds. And that's one of the things that my mom and my brother and I watched a lot of Hawaii 5-0 together.
Cool. So we've got the fake mom. They catch Greg because she's like, he's not in his room. And Lizzie's like, I know where he is.
Yeah. It's a great moment. Because it like, moment. All clicks for her.
I love that the camera crew is running with them and you see it's like shaky. They're following them.
That love was going to be my next shot that I really liked. Oh,
awesome.
Yeah. And this moment I love too because we're noticing like you can see it in Greg's face. He didn't think they were going to get it.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
He thought he was going to get away with it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Andy's like, moment. I'm not even in the FBI. Stupid.
Yeah. And Craig's like, what? Really?
Oh, right, right.
I totally knew already.
I know. And then kind of going back to what you were talking about at the beginning of the episode, it's mirrored in Leslie and Dave's interaction of like, you know, there won't be a jury. He's not going to jail. He'll go on probation. Like, yep. And then she's like, Dave, just let me have this.
Yeah. Yeah. I know he's laying out the facts and she's like, you're going to go to jail for a long time. It's like, no, he's a minor.
But I do love that Leslie gets that kind of validation that it was him all along. I do love mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, I know. Because she did have that little bean inside of her that was like, could be somebody else.
Oh, right.
But I'm so happy that she got to be there for like catching him and everything.
Right. And then I think there's a deleted scene that I recorded there was. Oh. Okay, so this is after they are caught, or Greg is caught, and they do actually end up going to the party. Which, so if anybody was concerned that they didn't get a chance to go, because I remember watching this, and I was like, oh man, that sucks that Leslie didn't get a chance to go to like her best friend's party. Like, she should be there. They do end up going, but it was very late after the party was already over. But before I play it for you, I wanted to also tell you and ask if you saw this, that there is this whole runner of who is in the dragon costume at the party. So I don't know if you remember seeing in the background. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you see in the background, there's this like green monster dragon thing, and Anne keeps like bumping into him, and she thinks it's Andy, and she asks who it is, and the dragon just keeps roaring, like literally saying whoever is in there is like, roar, and it's so weird. And
is it, I have a question.
Oh my God.
Do we find out who it is?
Yes.
But, can I give my guess?
Okay, yes, you can. I'm not going to tell you if it's right or wrong.
Okay, I'm going to guess it's Jerry.
Okay, so he almost passes out. Well, it is a he, so okay. He almost passes out, and it's all like sweaty and suffocating. And then one of Anne's nurse friends says, I approve, because Mark takes off the hat and it reveals that it is Jerry. So good job for you.
Yay. I was like, he's the only person that we haven't seen there.
Right, exactly. And I was like, that sucks that got cut, because that's even more of like a Jerry moment.
Oh my gosh.
That we've seen before, of him like he's passed out. Mark is like fanning him, giving him water. It's so funny. So yes, Jerry was in that costume, if anyone was curious. And that ties into this next deleted scene. So I will play it for you.
Hey!
Trick or treat! I'm just kidding. We're here for the party. And I want to eat some candy. Do you have any candy?
All 16 of your favorite kinds.
You like my costume? Isn't it funny? I'm a nurse. Do you get it?
I get it. And I love it.
I'm dressed like a cop. I don't usually dress up, but this year I dressed like a cop.
I have so much to tell you. What a night. Are we late?
Kind of, but there's still one more person here.
Jerry?
He threw up in my fridge and my freezer.
He threw up in my fridge and my freezer. Gross. And yeah, like,
that's so gross.
Hearing it, obviously you don't see the visual, but yeah, in the background, the camera kind of like zooms in on Jerry, like totally passed out on Anne's couch. And it's really cute, because there's no sarcasm for Anne. She doesn't say like, yeah, it's over, you know, thanks though. She's just happy to see her, and she's very patient. I just loved that scene. It was very beautifully done.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that she has all her favorite candies ready.
Right. Yeah, I thought of you when I was playing that, because you said that you have a bunch, like 16 favorite candies.
Yeah, I'm definitely Leslie when it comes to candy. Yeah, 100%. My next thing's the tag.
Yep, me too.
And I love Leslie's hair here.
Oh, I want.
I like it pulled up in the back. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This, the way they end this, I guess 24 is kind of the reference you're getting. But like, I love when they're like murder mysteries or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely love when they put everything together at the end. They show you where all the hints were in the movie.
Right.
Like, exactly. I love that. So I think I thought it was a beautifully wrapped up episode.
Me too. Yes, I love that they showed how he was in that dumpster the entire time. And then it made me think, like, so the doc crew knew he was in there? Yeah, gross, first of all. But like, the doc crew just like, let it happen. And that, again, shows like that they are just observing. They can't say or intervene in anything.
He makes eye contact with them too as he's leaving.
Exactly.
So they 100% knew the whole time.
He is such a turd.
Yeah.
How did that little turd do it, is what she says.
Yeah, it's her like her favorite word.
Well, that's Greg Pakaitis. But yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week. Is there anything else left that you need to say about Pakaitis, or just in general, Maddie?
No, I think I'm ready to keep trudging along.
Keep trudging along. Okay, well, everybody, we will see you next week.
Yeah, and stay put for therapy if you'd like.
There's a park and some pals, and there's also therapy too.
Time for therapy. I feel like we haven't done this in a while. Mm-hmm. because we haven't had it. We didn't do it for Kaboom.
Right.
Although, I mean, it was therapeutic, like Brooklyn said, yeah. But it wasn't a whole other moment. But yeah, well, I mean, what's been going on, or what do you feel that you want to share with the audience?
Oh, Holly. last night, we lost our game.
Oh, no. The Granite Backs or Silverbacks?
The Granite Mountain Silverbacks lost our first playoff game, so we're done.
Oh, man. Sad. Yeah, I'm really praying for them.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time grasping it. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen this in me. I don't know if you know this about me. I am extremely competitive when it comes to sports.
Yeah.
Like, almost to an unhealthy level. So I'm down on the field with those guys every game. And I start to feel like part of the team. And I'm not playing, but like I got...
But you are a part of the team.
Right.
Not the physical football, like throwing team. Like, you're not throwing the football, but you are a part of the team.
Right. And I just get so... Like, I was so pissed off last night. And I woke up this morning and I'm really upset about it. And yeah, so it's been a lot, and I was really hard on the guys. The guys were really upset last night, and that was the other thing that was really hard for me, was like seeing some of the guys that I feel like I'm pretty close-ish with, especially when we're just on the sidelines together, being really upset, and one of them isn't coming back next season because he's reached his limit, and he's like, I'm not going to come back, and this was going to be his season that he, you know, that we went like somewhere. And, you know, it's partially disappointing because... It's a team we should have beat.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah, that's part of it. And then the other part was the referees.
Uh-oh.
It was really, really stressful with the referees. They made a lot of calls that weren't fair, in my opinion. And that's one thing I will say. I get very competitive, but I can also see when a call is accurate. So if we're getting a call against us, I'm not going to be like, no, that's not fair, if it was.
Right.
But there were a couple calls in the game that I didn't agree with, and I didn't think they were well called, and that pissed the guys off too, because one of them could have won us the game, and that's, I think, when it got really frustrating.
Was it
frustrating.
Close?
It was relatively close. Okay. There was a call that they made that moved the other team 10 yards closer to the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing, and then there was a fumble that we recovered. That had us about 15 yards from our end zone. And then they called it back and said, no, it was the other team's ball.
Ah!
So, and none of us have understood what that call was, because even if they called it incomplete, they shouldn't have had the ball there. They should have had the ball at the original line of scrimmage. So that was really frustrating for the team as well, because we could have scored a touchdown on that.
Are these the same referees that have always been the referees, or were they different?
There were a couple
was
different
there any extenuating ones. Circumstances?
There were a couple that were new to me. And then there's one that I really like. He and I usually talk. He's pretty cool. I like him. But the other guys, there's one ref, and I don't know if it's the same one that was here last weekend. But last weekend, you know, I wasn't here.
Right.
And that game was really frustrating. We lost that one too. But they ejected our coach from that game.
Because he got so mad?
Because he got really mad. And he got a flag. That's fair. Unsportsmanlike behavior or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the ref went and he filed a report and said, actually, we threw two flags on him, so he's ejected and he can't coach the next game. So Ivan and I worked this week. Well, it was mostly Ivan and I edited it. Worked on an appeal. Because you can't have two flags on the same play, if that makes sense. Like, if you're throwing a flag for the coach having unsportsmanlike conduct, you can't throw a second one at the same incident.
Yeah.
And that's in the rules. So Ivan did all this research, and he wrote this letter, and he sent me this letter to edit, and he's like, so the referee blatantly lied and is against our team. And I was like, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
We're coming in too hot. I'm going to edit this, because if we want them to appeal that decision... We have to come across not like that. So I edited it, but we won the appeal, and our coach got to coach yesterday.
Wow.
Which I'm glad, because I think
that's
it
a big
been,
deal for you guys. Like, that's a huge accomplishment,
yeah.
I feel.
Yeah, huge deal.
And it wouldn't have happened if you didn't do that hard work. So that's wild.
Right. So it's been a lot, and I'm really upset, and I'm, you know, emotional, and my school ended this week too. So
right,
it's which is great. I'm way more upset about the football team. But I literally, we got home last night and I looked at my brother and I looked at Ivan and I was like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with 16 extra hours of time in my week? Because I spent at least 8 to 10 hours on school and at least 6 to 8 hours editing and putting together the footage and taking the footage and looking through the footage and sending it to the guys and like all this stuff. So I'm sitting here like, now what?
I know. That's going to be a really big transition because you're not used. You, I think that you've gotten so used to squeezing things in that now it's very uncertain as to how to not do that.
Right.
Or how to prioritize what you want to prioritize, or even like scheduling rest time, or, you know, doing more in other aspects of your life that maybe you hadn't had time for, like physically or mentally.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, you and I have talked about this a little bit, especially when I was getting really, you know, overwhelmed.
Stressed.
It's like, it's okay to not fill all of your time. Like, it's okay. Yeah, and I need to not see failure in having free time, because that's how I view it. Like, I view if I have, if I have 2 hours at the end of the day and I'm not working on something else, what am I even doing?
Yeah.
It's not healthy.
And that is, that gets you burnt out and then you won't be able to do anything ever.
Right.
And then the failure thinking mindset goes even further.
Right. So it's like, I'm just not, I'm like, I can't think that way. I need to be, I need to think about it a little bit more healthily, if that makes sense. And, you know, be okay with giving myself 2 hours at the end of the day if I need it to, you know, to have to myself and to take care of myself. And I think, you know, and this is a whole nother level that I don't want to go into today, but I think, first of all, I've always been this way. I've always had this personality, but I think there's a lot of stuff in my head and in my heart. And I think if I give myself free time, that's when I think about it. And I think my brain's like, no, I'm not doing it. Nope.
Right.
Fill my time so we don't have to deal with this shit.
So, avoidance.
Yeah, exactly. So
I think what you could do with your 16 hours is find a therapist.
I know. That's what I'm, I literally am going to do.
Because that was on your back burner for a while too.
Well, and I literally just talked to some coworkers about that the other night. We all work at the same place. Very stressful job. And I told them, I said, you know, they had the same thoughts I did. Right. They were like, I need to go to therapy. I need a therapist. But where am I going to put it in my schedule? And it takes so much time to find somebody you trust that you want to share that stuff with. So it's just going to be about setting out to do it. And I'm going to put aside some time, I think, to go see my mom again, even though she was just told the Singaporean government won't let her back in until at least August. So we do have a little bit more time. But I'm going to just fill
kind
my
of a
time
blessing
with,
in disguise, maybe.
Yeah, but I'm going to try to fill my time with more relaxing things than than that. I mean, one thing I was thinking about, and this is the last thing I'll say, and I want to hear what's been going on with
you. No, I want to talk about this. I think this is good.
The one thing that I've been putting off, because I literally have I've not had a free hour. Like, and I feel like you know that, because Holly has been so patient with me and with my stupid schedule and with me trying to, you know, me trying to fit this in and have it work for both of us. Like, you've been so patient with me and I really appreciate it. And I'm hoping that moving forward, like, now that I have all this free time, and if I don't end up working this other job with the other football team, like, then I'll just, you know, it will not be so hard for us to find time.
But
I have not had a free hour to say, I'm going to go get a massage. And, you know, and that might sound like, oh, that's like a really spa type thing, like a really fancy thing to do. But like, I have to go regularly for my arm.
Because, it's needed.
Yeah. I mean, first of all,
and also, even if it was a spa thing to do, like, who the fuck cares?
Right,
that's what you get to choose your time with.
But do you see where my problem is? I feel like if I'm, if somebody puts weight on it,
then that means
then
you're not
actually
doing anything.
Right. So,
and that's because I think that to give yourself a little bit of grace, like, that is what you've been doing for your entire life, Maddie. Like, especially in, probably started in college or whatever, wherever it started. But it's, I mean, you had a very hectic high school life as well. So I feel like, you know, as a perspective, like, and as your friend, I can see that it's like, it's something that maybe is a pattern that you can, like, you know, it's going to be really hard to, like, adjust.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things too, where, like, someone, you don't see what it's been doing to you because you're in it every day.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're just like, this is just who I am. This is what I do. And you've made it a habit almost. Mm-hmm. So to just have it like completely cut out like all at once with like the school ending and the football team ending is very jarring.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's something to think about.
Definitely. But that's what I've got to do this week is I've got to make an appointment because my arm has started falling asleep all the time again. And it started to travel into my back a little bit more. Rather than just the shoulder and the arm. So I'm like, I just got to do that. And I've got to start spending my time with more relaxing things. And I've got to listen to you more. I've got to listen to my mom more. And I mean, the guys in my life, I know they love me, but they're not as intuitive about those things, I feel like.
Yeah.
Whereas you and my mom, like especially when I got to visit my mom in person, she looked at me and she was like, girl, you look like you haven't slept in like 3 months.
Yeah, and by the time you saw her, I don't think you really had.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Because even when I was home with my mom, I had to take an exam, and I was creating a hype video.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, yeah, but I just...
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, like, I've been thinking a lot about that, too, and praying a lot for you, because, like, any person that has a full-time job, that in and of itself is exhausting.
Right.
And so to add on to that, like 40 to 60 hours a week that you've got to do that. And then plus the job itself is not just checking in and checking out. You know what I mean? Like that's not the position that you have. So to add on top of just your job, the grad school or the class you were in is just like anyone who's doing, I really commend anyone who's doing school and a full-time job at the same time.
Yeah,
like there's no leftover time to do anything else really. And like, especially people with kids that have, that are doing this, like, my sister was talking about how she has a friend that, you know, very similarly, has kids, grad school and a job. And I'm like, that's like, that is a way to get burnt out like immediately and have mental breakdowns. So like and that's just like a self-awareness thing. So I feel like it takes time to really understand yourself sometimes like the universe will take all those things out of your system at once or out of your life at once to show you like, oh, I was really tired and I did not actually have time to do all of the things that like to take care of myself.
Right.
And it really like shakes it up so that you can see the perspective that like you just didn't have before because you were in it every day.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's easy. It's really hard.
Yeah.
Because like self-care, I feel like has been told to us like, you know, it's something that's really fun and, you know, you've got to relax and stuff. But like, it's really hard, especially as women who are told, you know, you've got to do 800 million things. Otherwise, you are a failure, who already have to work really hard to just like survive in this world, I feel, you know. And then especially with our backgrounds and stuff, like growing up and, you know, it's just like a lot going on at once. So yeah. I'm glad that, you know, you're kind of seeing that now. I know it sucks. I'm not like happy about it.
But I got to learn it at some point, right?
So right. Exactly.
But anyway, that's what's going on with me. What's going on
with
you? Well,
I hope that you can get a massage soon.
Yeah.
That would be really good. Yeah. A lot of times people don't understand that massages are also medical.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big deal.
It is.
Well, is there anything else that you want to talk about?
No, I think that's what's going on with me right now. It's going to take me a couple days to get out of this. Like I told Ivan, I was like, I don't think I can watch the footage yet. Like I still want to, like I really want to, but I don't know if I'm emotionally ready to watch all my footage yet. It's a lot.
Yeah, to actually visually see what you're thinking or what you're wanting to avoid is really heavy.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that it's nice that you're sharing this because I do want to remind you and everyone, but especially you, that like I've been trying to flip that recently of like not doing something is productive. Because if, you know, I think about this at work all the time, like if I'm staying late and then I'm like, you know, your brain can't handle working X amount of hours because then you're not going to get stuff done anyway, because you start making stupid mistakes and you're stressed and depressed. And, you know, it's like you have to have that rest. And you think about I try to think of like my mental health also, like similarly to physical health, like you can't lift the same weight on your arm every day. Like you have to give that muscle time to rest so that it can lift heavier things the next time.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a lot and it takes time. But I'm glad that therapy will be like at the top of your list too. Because then I'm not saying that as like a jab. I'm saying it as like, which I know you know that. But like therapy for me has just been so helpful. I don't think I would have made it these last couple of months without it. Yeah. I mean, or I just would have had way more breakdowns than I already have. So.
Yeah, that's fair.
So,
well, tell me about you. Was that all you, that's not, you were speaking more towards my stuff, so.
Yeah, I mean, so I just went back to my mom's house last week to clean out some things, and it was like some serious like hoarder stuff. We did a straight up Marie Kondo moment. If anyone's seen that on Netflix, we were finding what sparks joy. And it's also one of those things where my mom is a big avoider. And if she's listening to this, which she hasn't been caught up on them, so I'm sorry, mom. But also we know it's true and everyone goes through this. Mm-hmm. I feel it's very common. So she's just like, you know, and there were just extenuating circumstances that like you couldn't really get around. Like first she was, you know, dealing with her job, then she was dealing with kids, then she was dealing with my grandfather. So like it was just like it's hard to, you have to consistently maintain a house. Mm-hmm. And home owning is so hard. It's just like owning a car. You've got to update it and upgrade it and maintain it. Otherwise you're going to end up spending $800,000 all at once when something breaks. And it's kind of, it's a lot better now that my sister and I helped, and I'm so glad that we were able to do that to pay my mom back for like being the most amazing mom ever. Mm. So that was really nice.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I'm just like, I guess I'm just tired. I feel like as much as I love doing it, the podcast is, it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. So there's like, it could be a full-time job, but I'm not getting paid for it. So,
right.
So I do love doing it. But, you know, so I've been trying to come up with times when I can actually like have a day in the week when I don't work on it, because it's getting to the point where if I'm not working on it, I'm like stressed because I'm like, oh, God, what do I need to finish? What do I need to edit first? So who do I need to reach out to make sure that they're doing their thing? So I've, you know, I'm just going to have some grace with myself on that part, because, you know, I like I said, and I'm glad that you were really supportive last week. We didn't last week, I guess it would have been 2 weeks ago by the time this comes out, we didn't release a pod just because I couldn't get the editing in time. And that's okay. I'm still a hero. I just can't do it all. So you gotta, like, no one person can do everything. And that's just like what it is. And that's something I talk about in therapy all the time, where I'm just accepting things for what they are. You can't fix everything all the time. You just can't. Because, like we talked about and said a million times, it's just not possible. And that doesn't mean that you failed. It just means that that wasn't your time.
Yeah.
So, and at the end of the day, no one died. That's how dramatic I have to get with it. No one died. I my new to-do list that I've created for myself has really been helping. Like I have a couple to-do lists, and one of them is must do today. And that really helps me compartmentalize, like, what do I need to get done today, or like the world will fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really been helping me, because like usually there's really only like three or four things that need to get done today. And then the other ones I'm like, I have do the weekend, do this during the week, like just space it out, because I can't squeeze stuff in. I've learned that. I don't operate that way. I'm just not good at it. And it stresses me the fuck out. And I can't live my life like that anymore. I used to, like in college, but and even 5 years after college, and even like to this day, I still struggle with it. But I definitely have been more self-aware. And it's funny, because the more you're in therapy, the more you become self-aware of all the shit that you need to like fix. That's why I'm saying therapy's not easy. I do love it, but like it's really hard and it's raw, and it makes you come to light a lot of things that, you know, you've been working on, or maybe that you have been falling short on. So so this week and the last couple weeks I've just been trying to be more direct in what I need. So I appreciate you also for letting me do that. And also I have to learn to be okay with being direct. I think that's something that I freak out about a lot, where I'm just like, am I coming across as mean or bitchy, or should I be more flexible? Cause I'm working on being flexible, and it's just like, I can only do what I can do. And if there's a problem, we'll talk about it. But you know, so it's all a balance, but so that's what's been going on with me.
Yeah. Well, and I want people to recognize too, like, especially with the schedule that I've had, I don't help Holly with editing. I send her my recording and she does everything by herself. And you need to realize that we both work 40-hour week jobs, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. if we get to a point where we say, hey, we're not having a pod this week, like, we appreciate you guys being patient with us and understanding that that's just because we're human and we either decided to actually sleep that night or,
right.
You know, so we appreciate as fans that you guys, you know, understand that and have grace with that if that needs to happen. And we hope it doesn't happen regularly, but, you know,
right.
we're human. It might happen a couple more times through the
span of the podcast. Yeah, it probably will.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Yeah, probably will. And if we're being completely honest, like, to zoom out even more, it's like, you know, it's not like we have 100,000 people listening.
True.
So it's not a big deal. We're just doing this because we're fans.
Right.
So, but I still love it. I do want to make that clear. Like, and so that's why I feel like it's been really important for me to, number one, schedule breaks, and number two, try to be more direct so that it still remains fun,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
I don't want it to get to a point where I'm just like, oh, well, I have to do this, because that's not what this is about and it's not what life is about. I say that I'm trying to bleed that into everything, which also, like, that's what how I kind of feel about my job. So, but that's a whole other situation. So, you know, but so it's been a heavy, like, last couple months, and it's been a week. So, you know, we'll get through it. Well, is there anything else you have left to say to anyone?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, same here. And, well, you guys, if you have any therapy moments that you want to let us know, then please do so. Otherwise, just hopefully we can bring you some joy and energy and, like, groundedness. And hopefully you can learn from some things that we're going through, or, like, you're going through the same things.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks again. Hope you enjoyed Purd. I am still reeling off of the fact that that has happened. So thank you, Purd. Thank you, Jay. And excited for you to hear our next guest as well, which will be next week. And let us know if you have any thoughts. But other than that, we'll see you next week, guys. Have a great rest of your month, week, whenever you're listening to this. Bye.
Bye.
There's a Parkinson's Pals, and there's also therapy too.